I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Well, it's the big show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight. Yeah, it's the big show. Come on, crank it up and turn on all the lights, y'all.
Weddy's Big Show on the Fan. Leap 36.
Leroy Butler.
Gary Ellerson's here as well.
If I'm joking on Gary.
You're a defensive player. You should be able to take
it. Joke on Gary.
It.
Don't joke on me. I'm sensitive. I
just like to spread the circle. I just like to have jokes going left and right.
Yeah, don't do that. Just joke on Gary and Steve. Don't joke on me. I'm sensitive.
Butler versus Bully right here on the Fan.
And a son. My daughter's taught me a sensitive side.
Oh, that's
not
good.
As sensitive as Trubisky, though, Gary.
No,
that's a different level of.
What Forrest Gregg would have said, Gary, if somebody came in there and say, turn them TVs on.
Man, he's ran that joke out of there.
Get out of here.
But yeah. You know what, though?
I'll turn you off.
I got a text from a former teammate. He said something similar happened. It wasn't Brett, but it was, and it wasn't Ty Detmer, who was one of the funniest guys. But he said one of the guys did say, hey, man, listen, we need to stick together. No outside noise, and they didn't put out the clips that day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like we got beat and this what happened, and we turned off the radio because we had radio going through the locker room to just focus in. So if you look at it, he actually is right in a way to stay focused on just positive things when it's going bad. So in that case, I guess it makes sense in a way. It just came out wrong. That's why when you play the clip, people can listen to it for themselves. He wants them, because they lost four in a row, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so just like when they took Aaron Rodgers out of context, when he was saying that some things were off a little bit, and Steve think that people missed curfew, which David Bakhtiari debunked, by the way, and said nobody missed curfew. Steven, I'm digging for you, and I haven't got nothing yet. Not that I would tell you, but
I'll wait for the book.
Okay, well. Oh, Aaron Rodgers' book?
Yep.
Well, I wonder if this would be in it. Have we ever thought that Aaron Rodgers actually wanted to run the football?
No.
Well.
What else you got?
Wait a minute. He run the football like him or the running back?
The running backs.
Play this for me.
This is Aaron Rodgers yesterday at his locker.
Yeah, I think that would help. You know, we've based on the way teams have played us, you know, we've had some good matchups. I'd say the last 5 or 6 weeks, but we got to get those guys going. We just, you know, we need to get them to touches. We got to get Aaron, you know, 15 to 20 touches and Jamal 10 to 15 touches. And I think that's when we're playing at our best. And Matt, you know, Matt knows that. And I think he said that as well. And,
we just got
kind of behind the sticks too many times and obviously behind in the game.
Yeah,
and
this is the radio.com app. I can rewind it.
Rewind the part where he said Jamal, because I saw Gary sit up when he said that.
But we got to get those guys going. We just, you know, we need to get them to touches. We got to get Aaron, you know, 15 to 20 touches and Jamal 10 to 15 touches. I think that's when we're playing at our best. And
well, you got to go to the residential Aaron Jones apologist other than myself. I'm excluded because everybody loves me, but. Ask Steve. Is that okay with you, Steve?
Well, Sparky, we put the number at 18 to 22.
Yep.
Is that okay?
Aaron Rodgers says 15 to 20 touches is what they need to do at least.
No, that ain't what I'm asking. Jamal.
What about?
Is he okay with Jamal?
Jamal Williams also getting 10 to 15 touches.
Who's having a phenomenal year?
So you're telling me. This is just funny to me.
This your friend.
You're telling me that this guy here, this quarterback, is good with the running back position getting 30 to 40 touches in a football game? Is that what he's saying?
Well, he said 15 to 20 for Aaron Jones,
right?
Or, and then 10 to 15 for Jamal Williams. So I was no math touches. Major, so that's
you're
saying
talking
25 touches. To 30. Yep.
Rushes and throws.
Because 15 and 15 is 30. 15 and 20 is 35, so that's 35.
Well, you got to use some.
Hanging right in there.
There's some little I wouldn't say hyperbole. It's just goals. So maybe it's.
Goals
maybe,
of the coach.
Right. And also, being a media guy, not media me, guy. But you guys are.
Yeah. Sure.
He's not saying that to tell the coach to run the ball
this,
more, is he?
No,
he's not doing
is,
that. He's just saying what he.
Go ahead, Steve.
I don't really like playing this game, trying to guess what he
game?
Actually.
We do that every day.
Because,
what are you talking about?
Because the fan talking listening about. To the, our radio show right now is saying, why can't you just take him for what he said and move on? Why do you got to read into things all the time?
So that's what we do.
That's what they're saying right now. They're looking
no
at the radio
that.
Going, here
nobody's
we go again.
Nobody's saying that, but the people that are texting you.
They're reading into Rodgers again
no,
on the big show.
Not.
Same old big
not.
Show. Okay, so if we're going to read into this.
That's why we went to you first. Because they're going to say Gary just bashing him. So
right,
Gary can't speak
I think this is Aaron Rodgers being good guy, good team guy for Matt LaFleur. This is what he wants to do. I'm going to say the same thing publicly. Make sure we're all on the same page. Everything's good. Because wasn't there something that happened over the weekend about Matt LaFleur saying something along the lines, I think it was during the game or something, I don't want to be throwing this bleeping thing all over the place or something like that?
He said we're not going to
be. That's not the team we want to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so your quarterback who I – pretty sure would love to be that guy at this point, is now coming out and saying, hey, yeah, this is what we want. I'm sure that is the numbers that Matt LaFleur is throwing out to the team as well of how he wants it to be on a week-to-week basis. Do I think that Aaron Rodgers is a big fan necessarily of not having as many throws game-to-game? No, I don't. But we're saying touches. Right? He said touches. Not carries.
Yeah.
Touches. So that means I can throw the ball 5 to 6 times to Aaron Jones and rack up some yards. I can throw the ball 3 to 5 times to Jamal Williams and still get my yards. So when you look at it from that perspective, I guess I can maybe get down with he might actually believe what he's saying. But he's definitely showing that he's on the same page as the coach. Because if he comes out and says, hey, man, I got to get Devontae Adams the ball 10 times a game. I know that. And these guys will fit in where they fit in. But we got to make sure we throw the football and establish that. And then they'll pick up the piece. And when we're up, we're going to run the football. He says that. Then he looks opposite of what his head coach wants to do, LaFleur. And then we really got some drama. Instead, he comes out, toes the company line what LaFleur wants, says the exact same thing I'm sure he heard in the locker room. And we move forward. We're all on the same page. There's no butting of heads here.
So you feel like he's being a company guy?
I'm thinking he's being a team guy. Of I'm going to go along with what the coach wants. I'm not trying to start him. Right.
That's what
I agree. I agree. Right? That's what I think it is.
Gary?
Can we go to the residential Aaron Rodgers hater?
That's exactly where I was going.
He's an Aaron Rodgers lover. Because when we did Cohen fantasy last year, who did he pick every week, Steve?
Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
And won.
For 2 years in a row. And he wins it. But people think that he doesn't
like
Aaron
Rodgers. Last year, though.
I think you did, though.
Okay, well, go ahead.
This is what Aaron Rodgers said yesterday.
We got to get Aaron, 15 to 20 touches, and Jamal 10 to 15 touches. And I think that's when we're playing at our best. And Matt knows that, and I think he said that as well. And we just got kind of behind the sticks too many times, and obviously behind in the game, and made us one dimensional.
Gary, are you buying that's what Aaron Rodgers thinks this team needs to be about?
Billy, here's what I'm asking you to do. Can you pull up Carolina's defense? Take a look at where they're ranked, and see, because you and I talked a little bit about this today on the phone.
They're terrible.
I was asking Billy. I said, Billy, what kind of defense they got? I mean,
they're terrible against the run.
We're gonna let Billy pull it up. I already know that. I just want Billy to tell me where they're.
Well,
ranked,
you should say instead of Billy.
Well, Billy's gonna find out. But he's gonna give us the exact number where they're ranked. But Billy goes, yeah, they got a bunch of guys, but
still
they kind of
they
rotate them in defensive line. They rotate all these guys on rotations. They're a lot like what Philly was. Not. Then Steve gave me the stats, read them off. Yeah, there are a lot of guys that are doing a lot of different things for them. So they're not like Bosa and Ingram.
Right.
Where there's two jokers.
Yep,
this is what I got.
Yep.
It feels like they're a little bit more spread out.
Yeah.
I think maybe this should be the game plan going in. I think we just got to look at, because I don't know. Everybody's talking about the Packers rush defense. Carolina may be a little suspect there too, Bill.
Carolina's 26th in the NFL rushing yards per game.
Look at that.
For teams going up against them. They also lead the league in sacks.
So you want to run it.
Right.
So this falls right in line. This game plan falls right in line with what He said Matt wants to do it, and he wants to. So maybe this is the game plan going in. If you look at this defense, they're ranked 26th, but what in sacks first?
They're 26th against the run, I'm saying.
Yeah,
they're first in sacks, yeah, they're fifth in turnovers.
Yeah. So you want to run it. So they sound like a lot like Green Bay Packers defense. Are the Packers defense in there anywhere? Where are we, like 31st?
In rush defense, they are 24th yards per game.
There you go. I mean, so
what's
the
question?
Well, the question is, I believe Rodgers, because I believe that's the game plan, because I think they've seen the same stats or seen the same film that we've all seen, that you can run the football on these guys.
100.
414-799-1250. Phil's in Chicago. He's up on the fan. Hey, Phil.
Phil, what's up, man?
What up?
Phil, what's up with that LeBron James come down there and put it at 30-10 and 10-11 or whatever it is?
I don't care about
which you didn't give me no tickets to. You didn't give me no tickets, though.
About the Bucks.
I know, but I have to just get in town to Lakers.
Phil, are you buying this what Aaron Rodgers wants to do and run the football?
Hey, man, let me talk to my friend.
Well, let's move it along here.
You know what? I'm going to say no. But you talking about this weekend, or you talking about for, like, you know, the rest of the season? You talking about, is that what you're talking about? Or
that's a good question. We're talking about this year.
This week?
Yeah.
Right, Billy? This week, right?
Whichever.
Right, well, if it's this week.
It's a good question.
Yeah. Then, yeah. But I want to ask you a question. This is kind of a little bit left, but.
Take your time.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Can Alan Lazard, can he play tight end? Can we see him there? Or that's a little stupid question.
No, that's a good question.
It's not a stupid question.
I thought it was a good question.
I just don't think it could happen. Thanks, Phil.
I actually think that he can.
I think Phil is on himself.
He doesn't block anyone. I mean, Jimmy Graham don't block nobody.
They bring him in tight.
I never thought of it. He's big enough.
Phil is on
himself. If they want to get another tight end, I mean, they want to get another big body, yeah.
I like that. He'd be closer to Jermichael Finley than anything.
He don't block nobody.
Jimmy Graham's also got 40-some pounds on Alan Lazard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He don't even block nobody with 40-some pounds. Got nothing.
They can run.
Yeah, line him up tight. Yes. Leroy, tight slot, wing.
Yeah, I like
something
that.
Something like that.
You got Sternberger back now, too.
Well, he'd be that guy.
You can be, Lazard could be your, what we call S personnel. You've got Aaron Jones and Jamal in the backfield, split backfield. And you got 17, 83, and 13 would be the tight end, but he split out. And you would bring him in, he'll be your tight end. There's your matchup. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you ever have a George Kittle on your team, that's a great outlet, okay? And I know we talked about Greg Olsen being old, but they're going to run the football. But I believe, Aaron, that's the goal. Will it happen? The game will dictate that, how good you're going to be. I think what I'm hoping that LaFleur has learned through this first year of his coaching, the game changes. Still run the ball, because if you'd get down 9-0, you can still run the ball. 12, you can still run the ball to get them safeties to come up, because they're going to do some of the same stuff. It's a copycat league. But here's where the nugget I was telling you about the running game, since we're talking about it. The Packers do bad against dual backs. Like Philadelphia had Jordan Howard and other young kids.
Miles Sanders, yeah.
They just fresh. They're throwing them at them. Melvin Gordon and Eckler. But if one guy gets those yards, Dalvin Cook,
one guy
by himself, that's just drip, drip, drip bleeding. That's not going to beat you. So that's what they probably think. It's drip. But when it's just, you pull that Band-Aid off and it's just a flow of fresh guys coming in there by committee, that's hard to defend sometimes. But if you know one guy, Barry Sanders, was going to get it, you can draw up a game plan to stop that guy like Tampa did. He got 68 yards in two games against Tampa Bay. Why did Tampa Bay stop him? You have to go look at that and see. But my thing is, the concentration should be the first 15. We're going to get Aaron Jones going. We're going to get him going. But what if we got him on our sheet to get going? He gets hurt. Put Jamal in. Keep it going. The weather will change and it'll be cold. But now teams are going to start to say, listen, the only way I can get our play-action game in is to get these guys some touches. So I believe the game plan this week is to do that. But Gary is correct. What did dictates that is you look at the stats, they're terrible stopping the run. So why would you do their strength, which is getting sacks, and throw the ball 40 times? You're playing into their strength. And, oh, by the way, the reciprocal, why would you throw it 40 times with the Packers? That's their strength going after the quarterback. Both teams are terrible against the run. So it would think that it would be a low-scoring game. But
There you go, boy. You coming around, boy. Look at you.
Things may get ugly if you get down because now you can't stop them.
Sure, and then you can't stop the bleeding. Yeah.
Last week it was 36 minutes to 24 minutes.
414-799-1250. Are you buying that Aaron Rodgers actually wants to run the football like he said, 15 to 20 touches for 33, 30 getting 10 to 15? That'd be a heck of a workload to be watching at the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill.
I'd be pretty happy if Aaron Jones was getting 20 touches a game. Football Experience Party at the Mecca coming up on Sunday, 3:25 kick. Don't forget Green Bay and Carolina. You'll want to be there in order to watch that.
What time I got to get there, Steve?
Well, if you reserve a seat, you can get there whatever time you reserve your seat for. That way you don't got to worry about it.
Are you trying to say black people get everywhere late? What are you trying to say?
No, I'm trying to say at this venue in particular, you probably want to reserve a seat or get there really early to get a seat. That's what I'm saying. And you can reserve your seat. And why would you want to reserve your seat? Because the centerpiece of the experience in the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, which is three levels big, is a 42-foot wide, ultra-high definition screen TV. It's surrounded by 9 other big screen TVs. We've got spotlights. We've got lasers. Strobe lights.
Like
got
all
kinds of stuff going on when you come out there. Plus, like I said, three levels. You can reserve those luxury boxes on the third level if you'd like, 6 to 8 people. Private TV in some cases. Second level, mezzanine level seating. Best seats in the house. Unobstructed view of that huge wall of TVs. First level, great seating as well, whether it be booths or tables. Call ahead. Reserve now. 414-908-0401. Prizes
you got
this week.
Sunday ticket so I can get there early and watch all the
Sunday
games.
Sunday ticket is there too. Leroy, doors open at 10 a.m.
Oh, well,
thanks
good,
for
man.
Asking. Waukesha Sports Cards provides the prizes again as always.
That's Rob,
grand prizes
guy.
At the end. Got player tic tac toe cards.
I like
when you get there, make sure you get a tic tac toe card. Playing for a Jerry Kramer signed mini helmet, the Hall of Famer signed mini helmet.
I know who Jerry Kramer is.
Yes. And also a gigantic, I'm not sure how big it is, but it's pretty big, Kevin King signed picture from the Packers.
I want that from the Pro Bowl.
As well. And there are many created by a team of talented chefs. Elevate Sports Bar Fair to a whole new level. Located in the Deer District across from the Fiserv Forum.
Chefs.
Check them out. Go to the Mecca, MKE.com.
Talking Packers football before Eric Name comes in here with some Bucks thoughts at 4:48 on the Fan.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one. I like it.
Yeah, this had everybody going.
Yeah, you know who you look like right now?
Meatloaf.
Who's that?
He does kind of look like Meatloaf.
I do look like Meatloaf. Yeah, I do.
But you know what you got working right now? You got that Baker Mayfield thing working right now with the porn stash right there a little bit, little dirt. You got a little Baker Mayfield
Baker
going on.
Baker got a lot
right.
going on, too. Him and Mr.
Baker in a bad place right now.
Yeah, man, he is in a bad place. I feel bad for my man. He's struggling.
Hey, man, see, these jokers, I tell you, man, y'all, you know, y'all new millennials guys, y'all think y'all can mess with these old folks. Y'all can't mess with these old guys, man. They know all the tricks. Y'all think y'all want to talk back to the media like you know everything. Yeah.
Turn off TV.
They get you now.
Well, he
they get you.
And everybody's got some receipts for Baker Mayfield.
Right.
From this offseason.
Yeah.
To think all these grown men were just going to hear this kid come in and talk about how great their team was going to be, it wasn't going to go down.
They almost had him crying like last week. Didn't he walk off stage or something?
Yeah, walked right off.
Then OBJ had to come in and say, that's my quarterback or something.
I tell people about all this talent. Talent don't mean.
What I don't like him is coming out and saying that they need to force feed OBJ early in games. Why are you saying that publicly for? What is that going to do other than tell the defense where you're going with the football?
Well, that's just like Aaron saying get the touches for Aaron ball, Jones.
That ain't the same.
It just talk.
Hyperbole.
They're really talking to the coach. But the coach, he just didn't like him on a couple plays. His play did come in for him, and you just didn't throw him the ball.
So you think this is hyperbole when Aaron Rodgers says
this? You got to get Aaron, 15 to 20 touches and Jamal 10 to 15 touches. I think that's when we're playing at our best. And Matt, Matt knows that, and I think he said that as well. And, we just got kind of behind the sticks too many times and obviously behind in the game and made us one-dimensional.
So that's his belief on what happened in LA.
Going to get the ball. So are you okay with that, Steve?
I guess. Sure. Are you happy with it, Leroy?
I don't mind either way. You can always say we want to get a guy the ball more. You can do that. Just like
as a
Dallas
defender,
was saying.
But as a defender, if they bring you the clip, like you said earlier, the interns or whoever, media the relations, they bring you clips. Okay, here's everything about the Packers in the newspaper today or whatever, right? Yeah. And you read the quarterback you're facing that week saying, I got to get the ball to OBJ, right?
Yeah.
You're a safety. You got Craig Newsome, whoever, right?
Yeah.
Are you all saying, hey, y'all, he's pretty much telling us what he's doing, or you go, that's trash, I don't buy it?
I'm going to look at my film study and trust myself. My eyes see that you pay the guy this kind of money, you're going to get it to him anyhow. That's not breaking news. You're telling me you're going to do it. Although I also say sometimes it could be the old banana in the tailpipe. You could tell me one thing and do another. So that's why you have to trust your film study and just see if it stayed true to form.
Mike's on the South.
You would love that
Mike's
movie.
In South Milwaukee. He's up on the fan. Hey, Mike.
Come on, Mike.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Mike, you seen Beverly Hills Cops?
Excuse me?
Beverly Hills Cops. You seen that with Eddie Murphy, Beverly Hills Cops?
You know what? I've seen that, and like I said, I've seen every Super Bowl, so I remember everything, so I'm dating myself.
Okay, brother.
But anyway, you know what? It is what it is. I think that When people talk on the news and in the paper, I think that they're limited to what they really can say. It's kind of like this. Would you call a bank up and tell them what time you're going to rob it?
Right.
No, I wouldn't do that, Mike.
No. But I'm saying there's tendencies with teams and different schemes and all that. So I'm going to say this, that the Packers need some balance with running and passing. So they've got all the weapons. I mean, they've spread it out before Davante Adams came on the field. Why can't they do it now? Aaron Rodgers has to have his timing down and trust these people that are on the field. He's got a lot of weapons. He's just got to utilize them. That's all.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Appreciate it, Mike.
That's smart.
Utilizing all the weapons that they have offensively is something that obviously you want to do. But when you are behind the sticks, just how difficult is that to get out of and then be able to play with those two pass rushers that we saw last week? And, Gary, being able stay in front of the sticks, for them to be able to do that this week and not have to deal with that pass rush.
Well,
has to be so key.
It's a balance, Billy. It's a delicate balance in that it feels like to me that they have a 1, 2, 3, 4, okay? Meaning like they have there's a progression, and you're reading the defense. And then that dictates to you where the ball goes in this offense. And in Mike McCarthy's offense, it was about matchup. So I'm going to Davante Adams because he got this joker on him. This offense, you have to read the defense to figure out where you want to go with the ball. Some of it is predetermined. Mm-hmm. It is. But for the most part, it's 1, 2, 3, 4 where McCarthy will go, okay, I like Jordan. This guy's on Jordan. Or I like Jennings. This guy's on Jennings. Or I like the matchup we got with JerMichael Finley. This offense feels like to me it's not so much about that than it is read what's going on. Take a look at it. It is about matchups, but it isn't. Does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, makes sense to me. But now you're asking the quarterback to take the throw that's there when you're reading that defense,
correct?
Right? That's what you're asking.
Right. Take the
don't
throw
force
there.
The ball in a double cover to Davante Adams, or don't make a throw that you don't need to make. But Rodgers isn't a guy that's necessarily going to force it in a double coverage. He's not far. That's not something that he does. But he will tend to stay with the receiver a little bit longer to give maybe one of his quote-unquote guys a little bit more chance of getting open and ignoring that guy maybe out in the flat and just throwing the drop-off and getting ready in the ball. Holds on the ball a little bit too long. Now, a couple weeks ago, didn't have that problem. He was getting rid of it left and right, no issues. This week, pass rush was getting to him quicker, obviously, than 2 weeks ago. And I think like he was holding on the ball a little bit longer. Again, I didn't see the film, Leroy did,
But maybe his receivers just weren't getting open. Maybe that was the problem of why he was tapping the ball and not getting rid of it. Were they getting open, LeRoy, and he was just not making the throws?
Well, and that's one of the plays we talked about, how tight the window was on the particular play. Dumped it off on third. It was second and 15, backed up on like the 25, I think. And he had a tight window to get the play was to get the ball to Devontae Adams. And 83, Scantley ran all the way across the field to clear it out. It was perfect, and it was a tight window. And I remember Tom Silverstein said, well, that window's kind of tight. I'm like, listen, this is an MVP Hall of Fame quarterback. He can make that throw. But you have to make it up, you know, within your progression. Like, if you don't throw it in that window, right then you got to wait. At that point, he dumped it down. They gained 1 yard through to Jimmy Graham. Yep. Some throws got to be there. And then, for the most part, any one-on-one, and that goes back to 50-50 balls, the back shoulder play, to throw it on the hip, and the guy jumps and get it, and things of that nature. Those need to go up a little bit more. It seems like he's been be a little bit more confident doing that to Aaron Jones, throwing it to him whenever he has a guy on him and he has to match up. But one more guy I really want to give a little love. We had spotlight players, and mine was the center, Corey Linsley.
Because did you have a spotlight player, Leroy?
Spectrum News one today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you were sitting right next to me.
Okay.
Well, obviously, you
were. I was just trying to figure out where you had the spotlight player was at.
Yeah.
You were just saying you want to talk about spotlight player when we weren't talking about no spotlight.
No, I tie it all in. Just,
well, I just help you a little bit. Come on.
I throw in 45, the fullback.
Danny Vitale?
He's going to be playing a little bit more because he has to block Keekly on these ISO plays.
Yes.
So if you cut him off, that works, but for some reason the run is not working, you know what's going to happen.
What's
going to happen? In the shotgun, and let's let this ball fly.
I don't know, LeRoy. LaFleur's saying he ain't liking that.
Okay, well.
That's what he said. I'm just saying what he
said.
Right.
You heard what Mike said. You heard what Mike just said. They read all that in the paper and they do something totally different.
Wendy's Big Show here on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app. It's always fun when Eric Name stops by.
I like names.
Bucks are 6-2, so I can't think there'll be any skirmishes going on here on the Wendy's Big Show. And Eric Name at Eric_name, NEHM, stops by next here on the Wendy's Big Show. But first, Dean Murray and the Jewelry Center.
Oh, that's my guy. That's my guy.
Leroy, you want to talk about your guy?
Well, thank you.
Platinum.
I tell you what, we got some holiday things we're putting together for you guys.
Oh, Lord.
Not for us. Some holiday things we're thinking about. Every time you visit the store, you will be qualified, and you ain't got to do nothing but just enter the store. We're going to get your information, and we're just going to start sending free stuff to people. You'll get an email saying, come pick up your free jersey, or come pick up your free football. Only Dean Murray can come up with these kind of plans to give you guys something. So you can almost shop without shopping. But the weather's going to be cold. Don't worry about it. Go to shoptjc.com. It comes right to your front door. But, Gary, they do have front row parking at a lot of these. Well, one of the locations for sure. My favorite one.
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, 76 and Layton, Layton Plaza. In Brookfield off of Blue Mile Road and Tri-City National Bank Building.
That's now.
Well, no, cool cuss. That's right across the street.
Did he
from
just say cuss?
Cuss. That's right across
it's
the street.
Cuss, fool. Cuss.
That's right across the street from Total Wines and More, where you can go get the broom. Is it a broom or broom?
Broom.
Yeah. Broom. Over there. And a third location for you in Burlington, Wisconsin. Guys, go see my good friend today. That's Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center.
Eric Name talks Bucks next with us on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the freeradio.com app.
Free radio.
This is ELO, Electric Light Orchestra, on a Throwback Thursday. Toto, Earth, Wind, and Fire at the top of the list for next week. Also, Lauryn Hill, Kenny Rogers, and Run DMC, the nominees. Go with one of those or one of your own. Use the hashtag BigThrowback at 105.7 FM. The Fan joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. You follow his coverage of the Milwaukee Bucks on Twitter at Eric underscore name, N-E-H-M.
Name.
He is here on the Wendy's Big Show Thursdays at 4:48. Covering your Milwaukee Bucks. Eric, appreciate it. Heck of a game last night under the circumstances of no Kawhi Leonard, no Paul George, but Bucks just take care of business.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it wasn't much of a surprise because of the way that they struggled with Harrell and Lou Williams last year, but those two guys really went off and kept it a game for most of the night. But, yeah, the Bucks really come through in the end, and it was really just a strange game. Like, they have four guys hit threes, but all four of those guys hit four or more. No one else hits a three on the roster. It was just kind of weird. Giannis is hitting clutch free throws after, you know, struggling from the line in recent weeks. So a lot of weird stuff. George Hill is going crazy and then gets elbowed in the face. Like, there was just a lot going on. But, yeah, it ended up being an entertaining game for anyone that stayed up, and probably a little bit closer game than maybe people were expecting with Kawhi Leonard out. But, I mean, that Clippers team is going to be good.
Hey,
oh,
Eric,
gosh.
Eric, stay on that point for a minute, because we had a discussion the other day, because some people on the show didn't want him to play because load management wasn't playing. I just didn't get that.
You nicknamed him Load Management?
Yeah, that's his name, Load Management. He wasn't playing. So did you ever think about maybe sitting Giannis because load management wasn't playing? I mean, did it ever come across?
No, I don't think so. The Bucks tend to, you know, they have load managed Giannis in the past. 2 years ago, they sat him out for, I think, three straight games. That got him like 9 days off. Last year, Giannis only played 72 games. So the Bucks will do it as necessary, but it's very, really in any facet, whether that's sitting up dude out, whether that's going big or small in their lineup, playing certain matchups. Like, Bud just doesn't do that. Like, he worries about them, and they're going to be focused on themselves. So they're never going to really think about going into a game matching someone else. Maybe as the game goes on, they'll match up and do different things. But heading into a game, they're just going to do what they do and kind of try to be themselves.
I was glad to see
you. You know, I was one of those guys who said that they should sit him out. But, you know, there's one of those things I'm not going to die on a vine about. So he played, whoopee, great. But you know what I was thinking, though, as he was playing, which, and he had a hell of a game, as he was playing, I was saying to myself, can he play like this when Kawhi and Paul George are both playing?
Yeah, I mean, that's
every time I saw him just do something great, I go, oh, my God, he's just having his way. You know, I mean, and it was just awesome. He was hitting jump shots, 4-7 from the three-point line. I mean, he looked just awesome. And then, I don't know, maybe that's a cynical part in me. Like, when Kawhi comes back and Paul George, can he do the same thing?
No, I mean, I don't think that's cynical. I think that's the question that remains for Giannis. And, you know, you can only do it by winning in the end, by kind of going through those tests. And, you know, last year, heading into the playoffs, I think all of us kind of thought the Celtics were going to be the toughest matchup, that, you know, they really cover Giannis well, Horford's a problem for him. On the other end, the Bucks are going to struggle with them defensively. And then they just came out and whooped the Celtics. Like, they just go four straight against the Celtics after losing game one and just dominate that series. And you're like, okay, like, he passed his playoff test. Well, we were wrong on what the playoff test was. Like, we didn't know that it was going to be the Raptors, and Kawhi Leonard was going to be able to both cover Giannis on one end and then dominate offensively on the other end. So it's going to be a long year of that exact thought, and that's not – you're not alone in that. Like, that's going to continue being the question for Giannis is, you know, can he get it done against the very best in the world? Can he get it done against the best teams in the league? Can he get it done against the best defender in the league in Kawhi Leonard? Can he get it done against LeBron James and Anthony Davis if it comes to that? Like, can he get it done in those moments? Those will be the questions, and they can't go anywhere because of regular season performance.
Eric, name, your thoughts on George Hill's performance to this point. Malcolm Brogdon is missing from this team, being with the Pacers. Do you think they have been able to fill that Malcolm Brogdon role sufficiently so far?
I do not. I think this is a team that has now relied on the three more than it did last year.
Yep.
It's a team that doesn't get to the rim in the same way that it used to. And when you see it play out each night with this team in that they have really big runs, right, where all of a sudden, wow, the Bucks are up 20. And you're like, how'd that happen? Well, it happened because they shot a bunch of threes during that stretch, and those threes went in. And then when the other team comes roaring back like they have now in, I think, four of their eight games, maybe five of their eight games, when that other team comes roaring back, what's happening? They're missing all their threes. And it's not, when you look at the numbers, it's not crazy, but they've gone from, you know, shooting 40, 42% of their shots at the rim down to like 35. And they've gone from shooting like 42% of their shots from three to 48% of their shots from three. And again, it's not everything. That's not the biggest thing. But if you start there, you can kind of see some of the cracks that this team has in that it's not just that they're shooting more threes. It's that they don't get as much dribble penetration. It's that they don't get those same kind of sequences where someone punctures the defense, one pass, another drive, another pass, wide open three. It's, all right, we're kind of moving the ball around the perimeter. Someone kind of broke open the defense, and that guy we passed to is kind of open. And those are still good looks. I'm a big proponent of shooting a ton of threes. So those are still good looks, but they're not as good of looks as they had last year. So, no, I don't think that they have replaced Malcolm Brogdon. And we're seeing a number of the questions that I had before this season playing out in that I just don't know how they fix that with the personnel that they have. Maybe it's Dante. Maybe Dante DiVincenzo gets more run, comes in for Wesley Matthews more often, and maybe that does it. Or maybe it's Sterling Brown. Maybe it's one of the young guys. I don't know. But this team, as currently constituted, like Wesley Matthews isn't going to be that guy. Maybe 10 years ago, but not anymore. Like he's not that guy. He's just going to shoot threes. So that's the big question for this team to me is how do you get to the rim more? How do you get more points in the paint? How do you get even better looks than the ones that you're getting?
Okay, so let me just clarify, make sure I understand what you're saying. You're saying it's not opposing defenses scheming to allow them not to get to the rim. You're saying it's the personnel that they have that can't get to the rim.
Yeah, I don't think defenses have really schemed the Bucks all that much better because the fundamental problem in defending the Bucks remains the same. Giannis is a monster, and they're going to surround him with shooting. The only thing now is it's only shooting. It's not shooting with another driver. It's not shooting with three more drivers because you still have Giannis, you still have Eric Bledsoe getting to the rim. That third driver, last year they had three guys average 10 drives or more per game, and it was Giannis, and it was Bledsoe, and it was Brogdon. And this year you took out one of those guys that averaged 10 or more drives per game, and you haven't replaced it with anybody. Chris Middleton is about the same in drives per game, but then everyone else below it is the same. So you're literally missing about 10 drives per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's personnel-based. That's not anyone figuring anything out that the Bucks have done. It is just not having that other dynamic playmaking kind of driver. And I'll be the first to tell you, I don't know that Malcolm Brogdon is that dynamic. Obviously, he's putting up big numbers in Indiana, but he's getting the ball a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I don't know that he is that dynamic, but they don't have someone as dynamic as him to fill in and make those plays.
Eric, when you look at them trying to find ways to penetrate the lane and trying to find different ways to get the ball inside, could you see at all using and trying to utilize more of the post game that made Brook Lopez so much money before his new contract that he signed with the Bucks?
Yeah, I think you're starting to see a little bit of it right now. I was actually talking to Brook about this after shoot around yesterday. One of the things that they're starting to do more is put Brook in the middle of the floor and start running a little bit of pick and roll with him, just him and Chris Middleton kind of working in the middle there. You've seen Eric Bledsoe the other night. He threw a pocket pass against the Timberwolves, did it again last night. that's one of the ways that they're kind of trying to supplement those. Instead of straight line drives, it's, all right, let's run a little bit more pick and roll, something that they haven't really done in the past, and to try to get some of that, that creates something in the middle of the floor that everyone has to draw into defensively. So that's one of the ways that they're trying to do it. Does a post-up do it as much? I mean, Brook has to show that he deserves a double team every time he touches the ball. Like, that's how you would get the same type of action, the same type of feel. And I don't know if there's enough defenses in the league anymore that are that worried about post-ups, because everyone knows most NBA teams are posting up to draw an extra defender to then get an open three. So they just say, all right, you want to post up, go for it. So I think it can be used. You have to keep finding ways to keep getting the ball close to the rim. In using Brook in more varied ways than just popping is certainly one of those ways.
I wish we had more time for you. I got three questions, but I'm going to try to combine them all in. I mean, this is amazing. Because I just was just shook by that your starting backcourt only had 2 assists. Shocked by that. And they only had 18 assists overall. And George Hill, who I'm a big fan of, he had no assists, but he had 24 points. And then, so I'm thinking Matthews maybe serve better if he came off the bench, put George Hill in the starting lineup, and they may do that. But my question is Giannis's jumper. Now, this guy's put up more points, more rebounds, and more assists than anybody. To put up all those numbers, I would love to see how many of those were outside the paint. I don't care. The guy is dominating, and it's working now. But it is disturbing that they only had 18 assists as a team.
Yeah, I think
and he had 9 of those. He had 9 of those.
Yeah, I mean, I think it helps show kind of what they're about is, you know, building around Giannis. So last night was kind of a strange night in that they had so many unassisted looks. Like, you look at all 4 of Giannis's threes, those were all unassisted. You look at, I think, 2 of Eric Bledsoe's threes, those were unassisted. George Hill, I think, hit 2 or 3 of his 6 off the dribble. So that it is strange to have that low of a assist numbers. I don't know that it's necessarily like a larger schematic problem. But with Giannis's jumper, this is a spot where I think he's going to have to prove it for a long time. Teams aren't going to buy it, but I think you can see why he does it, because last night I think it was even in the second quarter after he'd hit 1, he did his little, he always likes to get into that jumper with that little hesitation dribble where he gets to kind of 1-2 his feet and lift up. He did that dribble, and then all of a sudden you saw Mo Harkless run out at him. And that's what the goal of getting some jumpers up is. And that's a dangerous thing, because I think ultimately it doesn't make you a deadly jump shooter, because you're thinking, oh, I'm going to do this jump shooter to open other things up rather than I'm going to hit this jumper. Like, Reggie Miller wasn't thinking, hey, man, I'm gonna hit this jumper and then I can get the rack. It was, no, I'm going to kill you with this jumper. Like, Ray Allen, I'm going to kill you with this jumper. So maybe that keeps him from ever being an elite jump shooter, but that jump shot, that threat of that jump shot makes everything easier for him. And
yes,
you can kind of see it on nights like last night.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, the other thing I want to get your thoughts on, there has been a lot of Dante DiVincenzo love, some people debating whether or not he should be starting over Wesley Matthews. And I just responded on social media and Twitter, said, no, I'm good. Wesley Matthews continue to start, let DiVincenzo come off the bench, and if he's playing well, then fine, he can stay in there. But I'm not ready to make any type of changes with DiVincenzo at this point. Your thoughts?
I think the thing that sticks out to me was his first stint in Minneapolis. If you watch the first 2 minutes Dante was in that game against the Timberwolves, he was awful. I mean, just awful. Like, one terrible shot, one terrible turnover, a couple bad defensive possessions, and granted, by the end of the night, he had 17 points, right? Like, so by the end of it, people were still excited about Dante because he hit some threes late, and there was some other signs of hope. Mm-hmm. And I think the big thing is you can't give him too much too fast, because I don't think he's quite ready for it. So right now, if you keep getting him 15, 20 minutes and he keeps performing and he keeps doing well, I mean, that for me, for young guys, you want them graduating. Like, you want them to say, all right, 15 to 20 minutes, fine. Let's move you up a little bit. Now, what can you do in 22 to 24 minutes? Can you still produce in the same way? Or did those 5 extra minutes we give you just turn into nothing? Did you do nothing with those minutes? So, for me, I think Dante's got a ways to go to keep proving it. But, man, that jump shot looks way better than it did last year.
No doubt about it. He's gonna be key, Eric, if the Bucks try to get their first win in Utah since, what, like the Reagan administration?
It's been a while. And, I mean, to me, I think the ceiling of this team ultimately kind of lands at the feet of some of those young guys, whether it's Connaughton, whether it's Dante, whether it's Sterling Brown. One of those guys has to hit and probably ultimately supplant Wesley Matthews from the starting lineup. So I can kind of see why people are thinking about it, but I think I would agree with you on that, Spark. It's too early.
Eric, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week, all right?
All right, sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
Thanks, man. That's Eric Name joining us. Follow along at Eric_Name, NEHM, but it's pronounced Name. You follow all his great work, some of the best around, covering your Milwaukee Bucks here on the Wendy's Big Show, Thursdays at 4:48. He joins us, as all our guests do, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. We'll bring back the big topics during Great Lakes Dragway Pick a Lane. I got something new that's coming to Miller Park that might cut down on some revenue. Get into that along with Mike Clemens at 5:35. But first, Robert's Specialty Meats.
It is the place to go, the only place to go if you're talking about where to get the best meats. I was just actually there earlier today. And you walk in, and that aroma is unmatched. I don't know if Gary's ever, you've been in there obviously many a times. Oh, yeah. When you walk into Robert's Specialty Meats, and if you're in there for a little while, and then you walk out, you can smell like the Robert Specialty Meats kind of on your clothes almost to a certain point. It's a great smell. We're getting early winter weather in Wisconsin, so while some of us might be putting away the patio grill, there's no reason not to enjoy the best in quality meats indoors from our favorite butcher, Robert Specialty Meats. Paul Roberts has lots of options to make dinner time the best time of day, starting with one of his stuffed pork roasts, like the Al Capone roast. They had gigantic, huge Al Capone roasts sitting there today to be bought. A bountiful feast of meats, cheeses, and seasonings all wrapped up into one awesome meal, which can be trimmed to suit your needs. You'll also find delicious gourmet burgers, an ample selection of stuffed chicken breasts, like the Door County Cherry, just oozing with true cherry flavor, plus over 30 types of original sausages and brats from mild to hot. Call Roberts today at 262-549-MEAT, 262-549-MEAT for the best selection, and reserve your order. And when you visit, be sure to pick up some of their Cherrywood smoked beef sticks or jerky, the perfect snack treats. And don't forget, you can call ahead and reserve your turkey now for Thanksgiving. Tell them how you want it done with the spices and all that stuff. Gary, you do that, don't you,
all
every
the time,
year?
My friend.
You call
Love
ahead.
It.
We're in
yes.
November. You can call ahead now. That's get your right. turkey yeah. reserved. You can also check Woo. Them out online at robertspecialtymeatswaukesha.com for more information and money-saving coupons. For the best in meats, there is only one place. Robert's Specialty Meats, your hometown butcher.
Pick a Lane with Mike Clemens coming up at 5:35. And does Christian Yelich have some more hardware? Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.